Because I know you've given a lot of interviews to various people and various things about Pearl Harbor. So I don't know if you want to reinvent the wheel or how much you want to talk about that here or
Don't bother me any.
so.
I'm open to whatever will help you on the interview. So go shoot whatever it is. I'm not, that don't bother me.
Okay. So tell us a little bit then about your experience on December 7th on Pearl Harbor.
On December 7th, okay. Well, on the morning of December the 7th, our ship was in port. We had been on the three ships that were manned by St. Louis reservists and also fleet reservists and regular Navy. In other words, it wasn't all reserves on each ship. The three ships that were manned by naval reservists and one other ship, the USS Ward, they comprised what was called the 80th Destroyer Division. And our duties mostly there was to patrol the entrance of Pearl Harbor, roughly from Diamond Head to Barber's Point. In other words, we didn't patrol it right there at the right there. We was out practically out at sea, and we called it the Easy Eight. And each one of these ships would have a week's duty patrolling the entrance to Pearl Harbor. And the thing was, that was restricted area. There was a time or two while we were on patrol there that some Japanese fishing boat would get into that area and we'd have to pull them in. They'd take them all the way in and report them that they, violated the restriction there. So that was our primary duty aboard the Chu. And as I say, it was these four destroyers. Actually, the Ward had reservists from Minneapolis and St. Paul. So anyway, getting back to December the 7th, the Ward relieved the Chu on Saturday, December the 6th. And we came into port, and the Ward took over for the following week. Anyway, after we came into port, I had the duty on that weekend. I had motor whaleboat duty. We had a motor whaleboat that, depending on where we was dropped the anchor or wherever we were situated, it was our means of transportation. And the motor whaleboat had an engineer that ran the diesel engine that propelled the motor whaleboat, and then there was a seaman that took care of guiding it and steering it around. So that was my duty on the weekend there of December the 7th. So anyway, as I say, we were relieved by the Ward, and I took over my duties. We made some trips after we got in there on the Saturday, and then Sunday morning, I got up and I had something I wanted to put into the mailbox, I guess, mail some letters. I went up on topside and walked up there. Now, the galley on these four pipers was located on topside and about midships. And so I went there, took care of that. And while I was there, I ran across one of my shipmates, Ozzie Gray, and we started talking there. And all of a sudden, Ozzie said, "Look at all that smoke over at Ford Island." I looked over there and just about time I took a look there while planes start coming in over Battleship Row. It was dive bombers hitting the Battleship Row, and then in the distance I could see the torpedo planes, torpedo bombers. They were coming in and they just skimming over the water, and they were like lined up, and they would drop their torpedoes and take off. And it was one after another. Well, of course, after we saw what happened, our gun crew went to work, and the gun crew, we only had one gun there that was effective for aerial fighting. The 4-inch guns were all for surface fighting, And then they had 50 caliber machine guns, which are not effective at all. They're just about nothing. But this 1 3-inch gun that's up on the forecastle front of the bridge, it was able to hit three Jap planes. They shot one down completely and got a couple hits on another two. And so that happened. Of course, I didn't realize it, but I got that word later on. But meanwhile, Ozzy and I, we were just standing there all shipping. I do remember saying to him, I said, this means war. And then the ships went by, the planes flew by, you could see the red rising sun insignia on their wings. And as I say, we just kind of stood there just in shock. So as I say, I was conscious of these torpedo planes dropping their torpedoes and the dive bombers and all the commotion there. And you know, when them torpedoes hit the outboard ships, there's only three battleships, two battleships that were outboard. The inboard ones, they weren't hit by the torpedoes, but the West Virginia and I think the Colorado or the California, they were outboard and they got hit by, actually the West Virginia got hit by about 7 or 8 torpedoes. And so anyway, when they got torpedoes hit, you know, you'd see the plane drop the torpedo and then just a second or two later, you'd see the battleship jump up from the impact of the torpedo hitting it. And so anyway, that happened. And then the next thing I know, they sounded general quarters. And that meant I had to go down into the engine room. And so before I got to the ladder to go down into the engine room, why, then the Arizona got hit with that explosion that it was just a massive, just a big ball of flames, tremendous explosion. And I went on down the engine room, and they told us we were going to make preparations to get underway. So that's what we did. We went through our procedure to get underway. I remember they got a call down in the engine room about starting up the engine in the steering room. In the back there was a separate engine that ran the steering mechanism to turn the rudder. And evidently, some of our guys were off on liberty, you know, being that we were not attached to the fleet, some of our crew on the weekend could be on liberty. If they didn't have the duty, some of them had their wives over there, the Naval Housing Project. It was over there with them. So evidently was supposed to handle the steering engine wasn't aboard. So they called the engine room down there and he said, you have to go back there and get that steering engine run. Well, I'd never been back there. I knew what the engines were, so I just went back there and I realized you got to open the exhaust valve, you got to open the drain valves and put the steam to it, and not too hard, and just warm up the engine. And once you got it going, well, then it took over what it was supposed to do to move the product. It was cables that went all the way from the steering mechanism on a bridge, went along the side of the ship, went back to the steering engine there, and that's what moved the rudder one way or the other. So anyway, I do remember that. I thought, well, boy, I hope I could get this going. I never did it. It's the first time I was ever in that engine, steering room. And as I came out of there, I went by the head, that Charlotte facility, and it's a little different there. They have like a big long trench, a long metal thing, and with guys sitting each other. There was a number of men there sitting there having bowel movements. So anyway, I glanced in there. You know, I guess, you know, the excitement, and, you know, it would just work your bowels. And it didn't bother me. I did notice that as I went. I had to go past the head when I went into the steering engine room. So I went back there. And then anyway, we got the ship underway. And meanwhile, the battleship Nevada, which was up at the front end of the battleship row, it had got underway. Evidently, it wasn't hooked up to the beach, and it must have had a boiler on the line, and they could get rolling too. So they started out, and they were going to try and get out the entrance or the exit. It's one, just one channel. Anyway, they got over there, and then the Jap plane spotted them, of course, and they were concerned it was going to get sunk and block the channel in and out of the harbor. Fortunately, they was able to beach the Nevada, and so anyway, after that happened, they gave orders that no ships were to try and leave Pearl Harbor until after the attack was over. So what we did is got underway, and we just kind of maneuvered around into the harbor, you know, not too much, more or less. There's a lot of ships moored there, so. Anyway, we just more or less held our own there, and that was, it lasted about 2 hours. The claim it ended around. It started about 5 minutes to 8, 7:55. It was all over a little bit before 10 o'clock. So anyway, yeah, you know, the Jap planes, there was about 450 planes. There was four carriers that made that attack. They actually came in there, and then they went back and loaded up again and came back again. And they thought about doing it one more time. But anyway, they decided they wanted to get out of there. I guess they were getting concerned. So they made one trip back and another. In other words, two trips from the carrier. So meanwhile, after the attack was over, then they let us go out. We went out the channel, and we went to the area where we, you know, in the area towards the entrance there, and we got a number of soundings on the sonar gear indicating that there was submarines underneath. So anyway, we used up, we were out from the 7th until the 10th of December, and we used up all our torpedoes or depth charges, and then we came back into port long enough to get more depth charges and pick up the crew that had been on Liberty. In other words, I guess the Liberty might have been about one third of the ship's complement. The two thirds they kept aboard on duty. So anyway, that was pretty much the story of Pearl Harbor Day. As I say, we were credited with shooting down a Jap plane and hitting a couple others. And some accounts I get of it that we were shot down two of them and hit another one. So, and then we made a number of depth charges. I think we made 8 depth charge runs. And they kind of figured we might have been successful with a couple of them. So who knows? It's kind of hard to verify anything that you do with depth charges below the water. But getting back to the ward, you know, it's the one that we relieved us on Saturday the 6th. That morning there, about 6 o'clock or so, roughly an hour before they made the attack at Pearl Harbor, they sank a little two-man sub. You're probably familiar with that. And so, again, they radioed into the communications at Pearl Harbor and told them that you know, that they, what they did, it's like a little, like a sub, or they didn't call it a little one, they didn't know it was a periscope. Anyway, they said, we need more verification, so they didn't attach too much significance to it. So consequently, that was a warning that we didn't heed. And of course, that's the way it was. I understand on the one of the other islands, I think the big island of Hawaii, they were just working with radar. That had just come in radar, and they weren't too experienced with it, but these people working with the radar there had picked up some planes coming in too, but they, again, they were unfamiliar with it, or they didn't know whether it was accurate or whatever. That was a warning too that we didn't heed. So there was a couple of warnings here that, well, that's just the way it goes. And the biggest warning is we didn't heed. They just didn't figure the Japs would ever attack Pearl Harbor. They figured that Guam or the Philippines, out in the, closer to Japan. But getting back to the Japanese attack, it was a military success. Well, not a bit. It was a tactical success because they sailed northern Pacific, and you know, about 6,000 miles from Japan, and circled all the way around there within about 150 miles of Pearl, or 100 miles, however far they were out, and they made this attack, and they were quite methodical. You know, they took out the airports first. Hickam Field, and there was a number of airports around there. They knocked them out first, and they came in. But they was, of course, hopeful of catching the carriers in there, but that was to our benefit that the carriers weren't there. But they really made an overkill on the battleships, you know. They just did a tremendous amount of damage to them. And actually, it was the end of the battleship as the primary ship of the fleet, because after that attack, everybody knew that your future naval warfare is going to be with the air, the carriers, and the task force. So that's pretty much the story on that, Matt. As I say, it was a tactical success, but they overlooked things that could have been a lot more damaging. The oil tanks, the oil storage tanks, were all above ground at that time. If they'd have put one or two bombs in there, they'd have started that whole goddamn storage field on fire, and all the oil for the ships to use for fuel would have to have been shipped out from the West Coast. And that, meanwhile, there wouldn't have been no way of getting fuel from Pearl. And another thing, they didn't hit the dock facility, the maintenance buildings. They had machine shops there that could do, you know, big work on these battleships or any other ships. They didn't try and bomb that out. So, in a way, they overlooked two things, that just a few bombs in there probably could have did a lot more damage than what they did by taking out these battleships. The war went on without the battleships, and after the successful attack like that, the battleships that used to be the fleet of the line was relegated to a support operation. The only thing they used them for after that is they could throw a 2,000-pound projectile about 21 miles by being out from a distance. So they used them on some of these island hopping that we did there, I'm sure. But basically, the carriers, you know, we only had about 8 carriers, big ones. During the war, they built carriers. Jesse, my friend Jesse, her husband Carlos, he was on one of these, their small carriers. They took over some pretty good ships, mostly tankers that had a big, and they converted them into baby carriers. And so anyway, Carlos was on one called the Suwannee River. And they built a number of them, but the big ones like the Lexington and the Hornet and the Enterprise and the Saratoga, the 8 big ones they had, you just don't build them in a, did 6 months or so. They're a project. So, but that's the story with pretty much on Pearl Harbor Day.
How did you spend the rest of the war?
How did I spend the rest of the war?
Right.
Well, let's put it this way. let's see. War started on December 7th, 1941. So during 1942, the Chu, you know, during the war started, the Chu acted as an escort vessel. We escorted a convoy back to the West Coast one time. I think it was, must have been over Christmas 1942. I remember making that cruise back there. And then we did other small jobs. We went down to an island called, well, it's way down south of us there. Anyway, that's what we did. We did escort duty, and then when we weren't doing that, why, we worked out with the submarines. There's a big, very, very big sub base at Pearl Harbor. That's another thing. They could have dropped a few bombs over the sub base there and really slowed things down, because that was the main, actually, the main sub base for the Pacific. And they came into there, actually, the Navy took over the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. There was only two hotels out there, the Moana and the Royal America, Royal Hawaiian. The Navy took it over, and it was sort of a R&R hotel for submariners. When they do their stint and come back to Pearl Harbor, they be able to go to the Royal Hawaiian and stay there. Actually, I got to go there too, because we were attached to the 14th Naval District, or whatever district it is out there. We weren't attached to the fleet. That's the only reason why our crew was allowed to have overnight liberty there, is because we weren't part of the fleet. Actually, Honolulu wasn't equipped to take all the kind of people, if they had the overnight liberty, say from battleships and bigger ships, because there wasn't that many hotels, and the sailors couldn't afford them anyway. When we had overnight liberty in the weekends there in Honolulu, we could stay at the YMCA. It was 50 cents for a cot. You could stay overnight there for 50 cents. And anyway, the point I'm making is that they didn't allow overnight liberty to the fleet ships, whereas we did. And the fact that we weren't attached to the fleet, why, we were able to have weekends at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel too. It's really plush. So anyway, not so much on that.